Love Kane. Very talented guy. It's 11:07. We appreciate tuning in. At this moment, Derek Fisher being introduced alongside Phil Jackson as the new head coach of the New York Knickerbockers. What a name. Big Joe, what do you think? We think about the hire.
Were you the next call? Kerr, Fisher, Klein.
No, they called me. I turned it down.
It's just $5 million a year. Who needs it?
No, I like it. I think it's a good hire. You're rebuilding, and he speaks the language that Phil wants to speak.
Is that your mic? Let me see if I can
hear a hum.
That's much better. Yeah, try that mic. The one you were originally going to talk to me. You're like, hey,
hello?
Dumb. I told
hello.
You. Oh, that's so much
hey,
better.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I see you.
All right. Let's go to we're going to talk to Joe about Derek Fisher a little bit more, the NBA Finals Game 3 tonight. Also flopping, of which Joe never did in his career. And the Donald Sterling thing won't go away.
And also the NBA special last night, 1984 draft.
And
special.
We've also got the commissioner talking about age limit. I want to get your thoughts on that, too, as a college basketball coach. But Jim Harris joining us now. And, Jim, I want to talk about the U.S. Open with you. I saw nobody who would qualify for the U.S. Open anytime soon playing in the event that I was part of this weekend, although it was less than ideal conditions. We were having to hit around fallen trees and stuff. But anyway, how are you, bud?
Oh, I'm doing great. You didn't see anybody who could possibly qualify?
I didn't play with anybody. Now,
so
I know,
you didn't play in the championship play?
No, Jim, that's safe to say. Safe to say.
Who won over there?
It was rained out.
Yeah. So it's
it was?
Yeah. No Sunday golf. It was a bummer.
Was this the Pleasant Valley Four Ball?
Yes, sir.
And you got rained out. Do you get your money back?
No. I did ask. I only got to play.
You get a reschedule?
No, I only got to play 12 holes on Saturday. Though I asked the pro if I got a cart fee refund, but he said sure, whatever. But
basically, paying for the food and the
no doubt
and the beverages the food and, the booze, and the entertainment.
It's all good.
Did Pat Bradley play too?
No.
We're gonna get him in
next
year.
I'm a Pine Bluff football guy.
Yep.
I'm gonna try this year too, Pat. If I can get. And back into my hometown four ball.
Yeah, let's do it.
Man, I've heard that's a ball. I've heard that's a good time.
It is.
Well,
a
let's
party.
Go down there, Joe Klein. Let's,
me and you, Jim.
I bet you can hit the long ball.
Me and you, we go down there and take the PB four ball.
Take it by storm.
Take it over.
It'd be like,
I don't know, Scott Rose is probably taller than me, but it'd look like Scott Rose and Joe Klein.
It's quite a
85.
It's quite a scene, Jim. There's no question.
It's a great time.
U.S. Open this week. Ken Duke joined us last Friday. He said he's actually never been to Pinehurst, interestingly enough. But
that is interesting.
Was excited about the opportunity. We did talk to Chris Mays, who's the pro at PV, and he said that he had played out there before, so he gave us a little insight into it. But
but he hadn't. Has he played in it since the redesign or the renovation by Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw?
No, and I'm also guessing
it looks fabulous on TV.
He's never played the back tees either, I'm sure. Ken Duke, if you're interested, playing at 12:52 and 7:07. I'm assuming these are Eastern times, so that would be 11:52 and 6:07 a.m. Goodness gracious, that's early. We're going to have to get up early to watch Ken Duke. He's playing with Joe Ogilvy and Mark Wilson, who is out of Elmhurst, Illinois. You don't get a lot of PGA golfers or guys playing in the U.S. Open out of there.
And he's out of the University of North Carolina.
There you go.
Produced the top draft pick in the 84 draft, I think.
Okay. I guess he was he wasn't the top draft pick, but
Sam Bowie was
It was Elijah Wan and Bowie. And then
Michael Jordan.
Then
third.
Sampson.
Jordan was third. You talking about the 1984 draft deal last night?
Yeah,
Elijah Wan, Bowie, Jordan, and then Barkley went fifth.
Yep.
Stockton went 16th.
I don't know.
And Oscar Schmidt was the other fifth Hall of Famer that 1984 draft. The great bazillion.
Fourth.
And fourth in that, I can find out for you right now, Joe.
Jim, Rory McIlroy is the odds-on favorite. 10-1, Adam Scott 12-1, Phil Mickelson 15-1, Jordan Spieth 20-1, along with Justin Rose and Matt Kuchar and Bubba Watson. Who do you like this week and why?
It's hard to say. I like Adam Scott and Rory McIlroy to be battling for it down the stretch. I think Bubba Watson could be hitting a lot of shots out of the the gunk now. They turned what was rough now into back into the great way that Donald Ross viewed the course, with sand waste and, you know, loose natural grasses and the traps too. But I mean, you get it wide, you're going to be basically hitting out of sandy waste areas that don't encourage great shot making. I think it's going to be tough for Bubba. I think the U.S. Open is probably a tough tournament for him to win anyway. I do like that since Rory has parted ways with Caroline.
Wozniacki.
And she's still not winning, but he's playing well. I think it's probably got his game back focused where it needs to be. But then Adam Scott, he won on a great course at Colonials, playing really well now, and he ought to be in the run. And everybody's going to want Phil there. Did you have a chance last night to see Payne, the Golf Channel?
No, but I saw the promo for it. I really wanted to see. It looked like they had a lot of great like home videos and stuff. Was it good?
It just jerks at your heart so bad. It was
even mine.
It's tough to go to bed after seeing that. It would. I think you might even sniffle up a little bit. It was really.
Isn't that going to be on Sunday before the U.S. Open coverage starts?
Well, I hope they replay it again. But
I saw NBC's going to have it. I just wasn't. I think it's Sunday.
Oh, good, because it's worth seeing. Certainly, it's. I mean, there's no bringing him back. You just keep hearing the stories over and over. 15 years removed, and it still breaks people up who knew him well. And you know, it's still sad to know, because the guy really. I mean, if you think about it, and I didn't like the guy in the 80s. He was awfully cocky and goofy, and it showed that too. It showed when he was winning the PGA tournament in 89, or he wasn't winning. He was the recipient of Mike Reed's choke, I guess you might say. He had all he had to do was par in to win, and he pretty well choked the last two holes away. And they showed Payne Stewart on national TV basically yucking it up and throwing grapes in his mouth. And it turned out he said that's just the way he could cope with the pressure, you know, was to turn it that way. But it looked kind of bad. And they point that out in this show. But he grew up from that 1980s kind of guy that was aloof and cocky to a guy that, you know, found the Lord and became a great family guy, and, you know, certainly was an inspiration to Mickelson. If you remember when Payne Stewart won and was celebrating at Pinehurst 15 years ago after he, you know, knocked home that 15-foot putt, he's running over there to Mickelson, and the first thing he's saying is, you're going to be a father. You know, you're going to have something better than winning a golf tournament. And it's just still the tugs at your heartstrings even today to know that 4 months later he was, you know, the victim of a strange, unusual, rare occurrence.
How old was he when he died?
42. He was 42. His daughter was 13. I forgot that his kids were actually old enough to, you know what was going on, and it was sad to hear his daughter talk about it now, 15 years later. She's 28, and she has something to do. In recent years, she's been involved in the Tour Championship promotion in that end of things. And coincidentally, he was on the way to the Tour Championship in late October when his when their Learjet had their in-air malfunction and. Flew on to with no one basically alive, I guess.
Yeah, just to clarify, the initial premiere of this thing was at 4 o'clock. I guess it's redundant, but the premiere of this thing was at 4 o'clock on Sunday this last week, and then it aired again last night on the Golf Channel. So we missed the. I'm sure they'll re-air it on the Golf Channel. That'll probably be your best bet, and maybe even on demand, it would be available.
Oh, but I'm sure it's on demand, and it may be on a couple more times this week. But please, care, you know, care anyway, definitely watch it, because it'll definitely be enlightening and remind you about a guy who had to overcome some things, you know, to become a you know, the guy that everybody at the end pretty much was respecting, and then he'd accomplished what he accomplished, and I guess God had decided his job was done.
15 years ago at Pinehurst is when he won that U.S. Open you were referring to, and I'm sure you alluded to that as well, and I was sort of looking up some information, too, trying to refresh my memory, 99, so it's and crazy then, that it's been 15 years. But
and they came back in 2005, and then, of course, you know, Michael Campbell won. I mean, you would think, Phil.
Michael Campbell. I've not heard that name since then.
That was his high point in his life. Yeah. And then I think, they talk about Phil coming in, and is this going to be the one he wins because he lost in 99? Well, he had a chance in 2005, too, and he didn't do it there either. So
Michael Campbell's on that list.
I don't know if Phil can do it.
Sports one-hit wonders. If you did sports one-hit wonders, he would be one of them. Who's the guy that won out of nowhere? Todd Hamilton, was that his name, the guy that won the British?
Oh, won the British, I think, 03 or something. Yeah, he was and he's basically ended up on the mini tours, or not mini tours, but he's played it on the web.com. Sean McKeel, who Jordan Spieth yesterday accidentally dubbed him as the winner of the 2005 U.S. Open, actually won the PGA in 03. I guess Sean McKeel out of Memphis, he struggled since running. Ben Curtis, we never hear of him anymore.
No, I was thinking Mike Weir, too, and he actually had a decent finish a couple weeks ago, but he's... After
Mike Weir, of all these guys, he tried to change his swing after being a winner and being, you know, in the top 10.
Turns out he's not Tiger Woods. Only he can do that.
Well, yeah, he didn't have to change his swing, but he went to that stack and tilt, which I know Pat is still in.
I still don't know what that is. I know. I've read about it extensively. I've seen drawings of it. I've seen videos of it. I still don't know how that works.
Well, I think everybody that started promoting that thing basically
stack
tumbled.
And tilt.
In the golf world.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to an Arkansas connection. Ken Duke has finished 23rd, I think, twice in two appearances in the U.S. Open. I know he finished 23rd in 2007 at Oakmont. He's 45 years old, hits it straight. Boy, you'd love to hope that Ken's in the top 10 or on the leaderboard at some point and
would
give us something to root for.
Yeah, he said that, he seems to be a guy that if it's a course and always the U.S. Open is set up that way, if you got to hang around par, I mean, he's a guy that's always going to have a chance. He's not a guy that's going to go out and shoot 20 under.
Well,
but
I think that's what it would be.
That's right.
5 or 6 under is probably going to be probably the winning score if they don't get, if it's not really super fast. They're talking about getting the same weather that we've been suffering through here the last few days.
Yeah.
With a lot of rain. So that could soften things up, but it also makes it longer than the 7,500 yards that it's already going to play.
Which a lot of people would argue it needs to be to make it competitive. I don't know. I think it's going to be hard enough. And they always have the green set up difficultly in a difficult way. So you talked about the sand waste areas, Jim. Would this be something similar to what we saw in 2010 with Whistling Straits? Because I can't remember the last time I saw. I guess the last time the U.S. Open was there is the last time I saw a Pinehurst tournament.
Kind of. You're not going to see the wind that you saw there at Kiawah Island 2 years ago, I guess, when McIlroy won the PGA, but you're going to see, was that 2 years ago? Yeah, because Dufner won last year. But these are the sand hills of North Carolina. It's the natural terrain. It's all natural now. I think these guys, Ben Crenshaw and his partner, Bill Kaur, who, if you want an Arkansas connection for that, they came and re-engineered the Arlington course at Hot Springs. And actually, they came away from the Arlington course thinking, you don't touch this layout, this brilliant layout, this some little things just need to be refined. Well, here at Pinehurst in the 70s started becoming a real resort course to suit everybody. And it started looking like just an all green course. It lost some of its luster. Some people think it gained luster because it's all green. You know, a lot of people think golf should be all green and the rough should be green and everything like that. But really, you know, golf starts looking pretty neat when you restore the natural terrain to it, the sand waste of that area. Look at Pine Valley in New Jersey. If you looked at Pine Valley, it doesn't look like an ocean. I mean, it's not that kind of course. It doesn't look like Augusta. It's got the natural sand terrain of the course, and I think that's what you're going to like about Pinehurst this week. It's not going to look anything like these last two opens there. And the other thing that's interesting about Pinehurst is being the first course the USGA will hold the men's open this week and the women's open next week on the same track.
Hmm.
Which is, you know, it'll be interesting because the women obviously will not play it from 7,500 yards.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how the scores compare, obviously.
It will be interesting to see if they have a divot problem, if their landing areas are similar to where the men's are and they have the, you know, whatever clubs in they have to the holes, are they going to be dealing with, you know, leftover divot areas, you know, from 4 days and practice rounds from the men's open. So
just to bring this all the way back around, it's interesting you bring that up because if anybody's ever played the Payne Stewart course up in Branson, that's a local rule there because Payne Stewart, apparently one of his huge pet peeves was that he did a drive in the fairway and land in a sand divot. And so there's a local rule at that course that you can pull it out within a club length of the sand divot and hit it out of the fairway. So
it probably cost him winning in 98 at Olympic, at the Olympic Club in San Francisco because he ended up in a divot. And you know, when you hit out of a divot, you've got to really dig it out and you're just not going to get as fair a shot.
It looks like I hit all my shots out of a divot.
Well, just make sure your divot is in front of the ball, right?
I want to do a tournament where like you can we're going to like make the holes like five times the size of normal and you can tee every shot.
Well, they are experimenting around the country with this expanded hole. Have you talked about that or read about it?
Yeah, we've touched on a little bit.
A 15-inch hole or something, so it makes the game a little more fun.
It's not quite big enough in my case, Jim, but yeah.
I mean, you know, you should be able to play golf. You know, at some levels, you should play golf the way you enjoy it. I mean, you know, if that means teeing it up a little bit, it up a little, whatever makes it fun, because I think right now golf is going through a period without Tiger and without the excitement of the game that it had 14 years ago that, I mean, it's losing players every year by the million.
Right.
And, you know, something obviously to try to make the game fun for all levels and all players.
Yeah.
Even Pat.
Well, exactly. Well, the biggest thing will be increasing pace of play. Maybe if people aren't putting out from 3 feet because it's basically an automatic, that'll be a little bit better. But we'll see.
Hey, I'll tell you who can play some golf is Steve Shields.
Yes,
I bet Chuck Wine can tell us that.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He could. I think
he and Foley both are pretty formidable team.
Yeah, they're no Joe Klein by any means, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, he's a beast. Jim, appreciate it. So you have a pick? Did you have an official pick? Who are you going with?
Oh, man, I hate to go favorite. I learned my lesson Saturday with California Chrome.
Yeah. I thought you meant Ben Crane. Okay.
No, Ben Crane. That was good to see him win in Memphis.
Yes.
A favorite for the U.S. Open. Gosh, I know it could be any of 20, but let's go ahead and say Adam Scott's going to win this day. He's going to win a few more before he has to give up the long putter.
You think so? I'm rooting for Bubba or Dustin, but I don't know if they have a chance on this layup, but we'll see.
I don't think Dustin has it between the ears, and I think Bubba's got the talent, but he, gosh almighty, does he not? I mean, he'll be starting some of those shots over Charlotte, you know, to get into the fairway at Pinehurst. I mean, he's unreal.
I will say this. I don't know anybody who could be hooked up with Wayne Gretzky's daughter and focus on golf for 4 hours.
Oh, Dustin is the winner there. There's no doubt about
that.
Yes,
he's a winner at life, Jim, and that's okay. Good for him. All right, man, appreciate the time.
Okay.
SportingLifeArkansas.com, and Jim, we look forward to more of your work, my man. What are you writing about right now? What are you working on?
I'm going to start doing some football. We're going to have our football magazine preview or something coming out at some point in some form or fashion, and certainly we'll have some stuff on the web here soon, starting to look at football because we're only 80 something days away.
Boy.
I mean, here in Arkansas now, we've got baseball out of the way, we've got Hogs drafted. We've got Hogs signed to the, you know, that and the other thing, where it's time to start focusing on a basketball schedule, which I don't know if you talked about that, but the Hog basketball schedule with the SEC looks like a possible 12 win. I mean, I think they could go 12-6 with the schedule they've got at least. Yeah. I like what they've got. And then and football just around the corner with Texas Tech being Auburn to open, and Texas Tech there is a non-conference game being critical. So we'll be looking at that on the web here pretty soon.
All right. Jim, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks,
Thank
guys.
You. It's 11:27. Let me get Josh in here real quick. We'll come back and talk to Joe Klein about all the issues NBA related today, because there are many of them. What's up, Josh?